Our brother reminded me when he asked me to take charge of his service. Right, remind me about what, 9 years ago? Well, yeah, 9 plus 12 or 13. 22 years ago, I was scheduled to preach down in Springfield at Jane Ann's house. And Jenny and I got up that morning, and Jenny was driving so that I could study, as usual. And all the way down to Springfield, literally, I kept thinking that there was going to be a calling that morning, and that calling was supposed to come through me. Knew without question. I have a thing, an exercise that I go through when something like that happens, and I went through that exercise probably, instead of just once, and depending on faith, I went through it about 3 or 4 times. Because you see, I couldn't think of the brother's name. I could see his face. I've kidded with him, teased him. He and I have had some great conversations. But I couldn't think of the brother's name all the way down. And a couple of times I even wanted to talk to Jen because I was really just, I was taken by the necessity. Plus, I was told that he wasn't going to be there that morning. But I knew he was going to be called that morning. And he was supposed to be the 911 operator, right? Oh, he was still worthless back then. But anyway, he was supposed to be at work. And I swear I knew, as well as I'm standing here behind this pulpit, that I was supposed to call him that morning, that the calling was supposed to come through me. So we got down there, and lo and behold, I walked in, and here's this guy that I couldn't think of his name. I thought, Lord, you're not being fair. So I kept doing a salesman's trick. I kept listening for someone else to say his name. Nobody even came close to saying his name. I didn't know what to do. I really didn't. So finally, after the preaching was over, he asked for administration. During the administration, the Lord spoke to Brother Eddie that he would occupy as a priest. And I was concerned. Probably concerned for the next couple of years, not because I didn't have confidence in her brother, but afraid that I had misunderstood the guidance of our Heavenly Father. So one day up at East Independence, sister that attended down there, I can't call her name, Becky Sheldon's mother, Marlene Cobb. Marlene Cobb, who wasn't even there at the time, came up to me after our service. And she said, I want you to know what a great contribution our brother has made to our group. I thought it was rather funny. I didn't know I was going to get emotional about it. But it was God's way of showing me, even though my human inadequacies couldn't stop his work. And our brother has served as pastor. He's served as a priesthood member in keeping the group going. And if y'all ever get a chance to go see the building in Springfield, it's one of the most beautiful buildings. Quaintest, cleanest looking little church. And they've worked hard together to get it. They really have. And I admire them. And Marlene, Brother Yates, Ski Yates' daughter, she's been a real plus, as every one of them in the group. And so it is a pleasure. This is the first time I've ever been able to introduce him. It's a pleasure to once again participate in a service with our brother, Priest Marty Addy.
Thank you, Bob. Well, this is my second time being here for a reunion, and my second time that I get to preach to you. And that's my hope, is that it will be preaching and some exhortation, as Bob pointed out this afternoon. And I want to bring greetings from the Springfield local. And 2 weeks ago, I was at the Houston local for their rally, and they asked me to bring greetings also. And when we got here yesterday, after Benny started his sermon, about 5 minutes into it, I leaned over and I poked Janine and I said, I can tell you, the theme of this reunion is going to be preparation. Because that's what I'm planning to talk on, and I'm just waiting to see if anybody's going to take my scriptures. And I'm thankful that Benny and Rich and Bob all talked around it, but nobody used the same scriptures that I'm planning to use. And I may have a little bit of a different take on the idea of preparation. And one of the things that I'm going to point out is some of the things that you hear from me this evening may be very similar to what you've already heard preached. But I would remind you that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ repeated himself often 3 times in order for the people to retain it. If you do a little research or you pay attention to these kind of things, as far as education, you have to tell somebody something more than one time for them to make it stick. So I may tell you some things again, or I may tell you some different things. But what I want you to think about is, and I'm sure most of you this is going to apply, because a lot of you are not from Grand Junction that are here today. So if I could see a show of hands, how many have ever taken a car trip? Well, I think I got everybody. Good. What is one of the first things that you do? Do you plan your route? Do you check the road maps? Maybe you get on the internet and check for road construction problems. Or maybe there's flooding or snow. And then you decide, what are you going to take with you? What are you going to pack? You check on the weather. Well, do I need to take a heavy coat, or can I get by with a t-shirt? Will you need to prepare for storms or blizzards? I left the snow shovel home, but I do have a shovel in the truck. I'm trying to be prepared, even though I was never a Boy Scout. Do you make plans of where you're going to stay along the way? We're dragging our camper along behind us, so we can kind of pull off the road and stay just about anywhere, as long as we can get permission. Maybe you send off for some travel guides of things to see along the route. Or maybe you ask friends and relatives if they've been where you want to go and get their input of what to see, where to stay. And there's a couple of people here that I've already talked to about going to Washington and Oregon and Idaho, and it's like, what do I want to see there? How should I go? What route should I take? What roads can I get my camper up and safely down again? What about your car? Do you get it checked out to see if it's in good condition for a trip? Maybe you have the oil changed. Maybe you wash your windows so you can see clearly. The other morning, Thursday morning, we spent Wednesday night at the Black Canyon in Gunnison National Park, and we wanted to take a little drive Thursday morning to go down through the canyon to the river. And it's a 5-mile drive, 16% downgrade. And I had some kind of a film on the inside of the windows, and it's like, we're going to have to clean the windows before we drive down that hill into the sunshine, because I got to see where I'm going. Otherwise, we may not make it down and back up. Maybe you take some audio books or some sermons on a CD or a tape to listen to. Take some snacks in case you get stuck somewhere, you get hungry and don't want to stop. What about your budget? Do you figure out what your projected expenses are going to be to see if you can afford the trip. Are you going to bring sandwiches and have a picnic? Or are you going to go to fast food or nice restaurants? There's a scripture that I didn't put down the reference for, but it talks about when a man plans a building project, if he's smart, he plans whether he can afford to finish the project before he starts it. What if you're going to be gone for several days, or maybe weeks, like we're planning to do? Do you stop your mail? Do you have someone pick it up for you? Our son's at home. Hopefully he's doing that. Who takes care of your pets if you have some? We've got several of those. Who's going to mow your lawn? Hopefully my son is. And all of those things that need doing if you're not home. You have to plan for these things. You have to prepare for them. But what I'm really wanting to get at is how much of our time do we spend planning and preparing just to take a little trip, or maybe a big trip? Or what about when we are making purchase decisions, when we want some new shoes or a new TV or something? Do we get on the internet and look up and see which is the best brand, what's the best model number? And all these things, because we don't want to make a bad decision. Do we buy insurance to protect our property or our health? Do we eat well to take care of our health? Do we invest nearly the same amount of time researching our salvation? Do we study the travel guides that we have in the Bible and the Book of Mormon? Do we plan how to travel the route to our goal? Or are we just driving or wandering around with no goal in mind, just taking whatever turn looks interesting, with no thought of what may be down that road? Are our lives out of balance? Is how we spend our money or what we do for recreation more important than if we are planning, or preparing rather, to meet Jesus Christ? I'm going to spend a good portion of my time in the 17th chapter of Book of Mormon, here on page 434, it's in Alma. And we have a gentleman here that's wanting to share some experiences with his son. Alma is talking to his son, Helaman, and giving him some directions and sharing the things that Alma's been through that made him the type of man that he is. And my reading tonight will probably be a little bit long, hopefully not boring, but I've went through it four or five times trying to look for places that I could leave some verses out to make it a little shorter. And I can't. It just all fits with what I want to get across to you tonight. And I'm going to start at the first verse there in that 17th chapter. And I'm going to read through about the 40th, and then we'll read some more after that. My son, give ear to my words, for I swear unto you that inasmuch as ye shall keep the commandments of God, ye shall prosper in the land. In the first verse, we have a promise. I would that ye should do as I have done in remembering the captivity of our fathers, for they were in bondage and none could deliver them, except it was the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, and he surely did deliver them in their afflictions. And now, O my son Helaman, behold, thou art in thy youth. And therefore I beseech of thee that thou wilt hear my words and learn of me. For I do know that whosoever shall put their trust in God shall be supported in their trials and their troubles and their afflictions and shall be lifted up at the last day. Just a few minutes ago, our brother Darren and his daughter got up and sang a song for us to be humble and we'll be lifted up. We need to take that to heart. We need to believe the things that Alma told Helaman, that we will be supported in our troubles, in our trials, our afflictions, and we will be lifted up at that last day. Going on in the fourth verse. And I would not that ye think that I know of myself, not of the temporal, but of the spiritual, not of the carnal mind, but of God. Now behold, I say unto you, if I had not been born of God, I should not have known these things. But God hath, by the mouth of his holy angel, made these things known unto me, not of any worthiness of myself. For I went about with the sons of Mosiah, seeking to destroy the church of God. But behold, God sent his holy angel to stop us by the way. And behold, he spake unto us, as it were, the voice of thunder, and the whole earth did tremble beneath our feet. And we all fell to the earth, for the fear of the Lord came upon us. But behold, the voice said unto me, Arise. And I arose and stood up and beheld the angel. And he said unto me, If thou wilt of thyself be destroyed, seek no more to destroy the church of God. And it came to pass, I fell to the earth, and it was for the space of 3 days and 3 nights that I could not open my mouth, neither had I the use of my limbs. And the angel spake more things unto me which were heard of my brethren, but I did not hear them. For when I heard the words, If thou wilt be destroyed of thyself, seek no more to destroy the church of God, I was struck with such great fear and amazement, lest perhaps I should be destroyed, that I fell to the earth and did hear no more. But I was racked with eternal torment, for my soul was harrowed up to the greatest degree, and racked with all my sins. Yea, I did remember all my sins and iniquities, for which I was tormented with the pains of hell. Yea, I saw that I had rebelled against my God, and that I had not kept his holy commandments. Yea, and I had murdered many of his children, or rather led them away unto destruction. Yea, and in fine, so great had been my iniquities, that the very thoughts of coming into the presence of my God did rack my soul with inexpressible horror. Oh, thought I, that I could be banished and become extinct, both soul and body, that I might not be brought to stand in the presence of my God, to be judged of my deeds. Can you begin to imagine how Alma felt? He felt he was so unworthy that he did not want to stand before God and be judged. And now for 3 days and 3 nights was I racked, even with the pains of a damned soul. And it came to pass that as I was thus racked with torment, while I was harrowed up by the memory of my many sins, behold, I remembered also to have heard my father prophesy unto the people concerning the coming of one Jesus Christ, a Son of God, to atone for the sins of the world. Now as my mind caught hold upon this thought, I cried within my heart, O Jesus, thou Son of God, have mercy on me who art in the gall of bitterness and art encircled about by the everlasting chains of death. And now behold, when I thought this, could remember my pains no more. Yea, I was harrowed up by the memory of my sins no more. And oh, what joy, what marvelous light I did behold. Yea, my soul was filled with joy as exceeding as was my pain. Yea, I say unto you, my son, that there could be nothing so exquisite and so bitter as were my pains. Yea, and again I say unto you, my son, that on the other hand, there can be nothing so exquisite and sweet as was my joy. Yea, methought I saw, even as our father Lehi saw, God sitting upon his throne, surrounded with numberless concourses of angels, in the attitude of singing and praising their God. Yea, and my soul did long to be there. In the last 2 days, we've sang a lot of songs. My soul has been filled with the spirit of singing those songs. But behold, my limbs did receive their strength again, and I stood upon my feet and did manifest unto the people that I had been born of God. Yea, and from that time even until now, I have labored without ceasing, that I might bring souls unto repentance, that I might bring them to taste of the exceeding joy of which I did taste, that they might also be born of God and filled with the Holy Ghost. Yea, and now behold, O my son, the Lord doth give me exceeding great joy in the fruit of my labors. For because of the word which he hath imparted unto me, behold, many have been born of God, and have tasted as I have tasted, and have seen eye to eye as I have seen. Therefore they do know of these things of which I have spoken, as I do know, and the knowledge which I have is of God. And I have been supported under trials and troubles of every kind, and in all manner of afflictions. Yea, God hath delivered me from prison, and from bonds, and from death. Yea, and I do put my trust in him, and he will still deliver me. And I know that he will raise me up at the last day to dwell with him in glory. Yea, and I will praise him forever, for he hath brought our fathers out of Egypt, and he hath swallowed up the Egyptians in the Red Sea, and he led them by his power into the promised land. Yea, and he hath delivered them out of bondage and captivity from time to time. Yea, he hath also brought our fathers out of the land of Jerusalem, and he hath also, by his everlasting power, delivered them out of bondage and captivity from time to time, even down to the present day. And I have always retained in remembrance their captivity. Yea, and ye also had ought to retain in remembrance, as I have done, their captivity. But behold, my son, this is not all. For ye had ought to know, as I do know, that inasmuch as ye shall keep the commandments of God, ye shall prosper in the land. And ye had ought to know also that inasmuch as ye will not keep the commandments of God, ye shall be cut off from his presence. Now this is according to his word. And now, my son Helaman, I command you that ye take the records which have been entrusted with me. And I also command that ye shall keep a record of this people, according as I have done upon the plates of Nephi, and keep all these things sacred which I have kept, even as I have kept them, for it is for a wise purpose that they are kept. And these plates of brass which contain these engravings, which have the records of the holy scriptures upon them, which have the genealogy of our forefathers, even from the beginning. And behold, it hath been prophesied by our fathers that they should be kept and handed down from one generation to another, and be kept and preserved by the hand of the Lord, until they shall go forth unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, that they shall know of the mysteries contained therein. And now behold, if they are kept, they must retain their brightness. Yea, and they will retain their brightness, yea, and also shall all the plates which do contain that which is holy writ. Now ye may suppose that this is foolishness in me, but behold, I say unto you that by small and simple things are great things brought to pass, and small means in many instances doth confound the wise. And the Lord doth work by means to bring about his great and eternal purposes, and by very small means the Lord doth confound the wise and bringeth about the salvation of many souls. Now, I'm sure that everybody's, at some time in your life, you've probably thrown a stone into a pond or a puddle, and you know what the ripple effect is, because it just starts right there where the stone goes in and just kind of floats out until it gets to the edge. Something I want you to think about: our lives have a ripple effect. What we do in our lives or don't do has a great effect on other people. We may never know in our lifetime what that effect was, or we may. I'm going to tell you just a real brief little story to kind of illustrate this. My grandfather, Rollo Addy, joined the reorganized church in 1916. He was baptized by an elder of the name of J.O. Dutton, who I've tried to research and I can't find much about him. But what I want you to think about is, do you suppose when Mr. Dutton was visiting with my grandfather and convinced him of his need for salvation and to be baptized, do you suppose that he had any forethought that the kind of man my grandfather would be, or that one day his son, my dad, would be called to be an elder in 1979, or that someday I would be called to be a priest in 1989? I doubt that he had an idea. You know, he just knew he was doing what he needed to do. And what I want to point out is that none of us is fully aware of the impact that we may have on other people. I don't think when Bob was on his way to Springfield that Sunday morning, I don't think he had a clue the impact that calling would have upon my life, upon my family's life. I don't think Bob had any idea of how hopeless I was feeling that weekend. Probably one of the worst weekends I had had up until that point, because on Thursday preceding this, I'd been working in a children's home for 5 years, and I really liked my job there, working with abused and neglected kids, and I had great fellow employees that I worked with. And on Thursday afternoon, I got called into my boss's office. They were in the process of selling the children's home to a nonprofit agency, because at that time, when I was working there, it was owned by the city of Springfield. And their contract was that anybody that was working at the children's home that had at least 6 months of time, when the new company came in and took over, which was going to be on Monday, that they had to accept them as an employee. Well, they had found out sometime like Tuesday or Wednesday that the prior year I had used $98,000 worth of insurance benefits, and their insurance company told them they were going to raise their rates by that amount if I was part of the package. And my director set me down, and I knew something wasn't good when I realized that the personnel director for the city was in the room also. And I'm like running through my mind, I haven't done anything. And then they explained that the people that are buying it are planning on backing out of the deal if you're part of it. And I said, well, isn't there a contract that they have to? Yeah, but they're saying they're not going to honor the contract. And at that point, they suggested that, being I had prior experience as a police dispatcher, and they had openings in their 911 department, that if I was willing to and wanted to remain an employee of the city, I could transfer over there. And I didn't want to. I didn't want to give up my job at the children's home. I loved working there. But I knew that if I forced the issue and went to work for this other place, that probably within a month or two they would have fired me for something, because they didn't have any required job protection or anything like that. But so when I went to church Sunday morning, it was because I was supposed to work that weekend, and I was off because I was going to be starting training for my new job on Monday morning. And I was pretty unhappy about the whole thing. It was a rough time. I had health issues going on, serious ones. And I just couldn't see what the future was. You know, I was going to have to go to a job I didn't want to. And then I asked for administration. And when Bob called me, boy, was I scared. You know, when I was a kid, I thought, you know, that'd be cool, get called, be a preacher. But when you get that calling, it hits you like a ton of bricks, the responsibility. And I wasn't sure I was worthy. And I talked to Apostle Surratt about it, and Bob and I talked about it, and it took me a while to make up my mind. But I had to decide within myself that God knew what he was doing. That if he was going to call me, he must plan for me to be around to do something with it. Well, that's 22 years ago, and I'm here. But I don't know that Bob ever realized how horrible a week that had been for me, and how hopeless I was feeling. And then, when you get called to God, or God touches your life, the hope, and being able to look at a future with some degree of desire and a purpose. I'm going to read on here now, back at 37. And now it hath hitherto been wisdom in God that these things should be preserved, for behold, they have enlarged the memory of this people, yea, and convinced many of the error of their ways, and brought them to the knowledge of their God, unto the salvation of their souls. Yea, I say unto you, were it not for these things that these records do contain, which are on these plates, Ammon and his brethren could not have convinced so many thousands of the Lamanites of the incorrect tradition of their fathers. Yea, these records and their words brought them on to repentance. That is, they brought them to the knowledge of the Lord their God, and to rejoice in Jesus Christ their Redeemer. And who knoweth but what they will be the means of bringing many thousands of them, yea, and also many thousands of our stiff-necked brethren, the Nephites, which are now hardening their hearts in sins and iniquities to the knowledge of their Redeemer. How many times have we wandered off the path that leads to the tree of life? Did we feel out of touch with God? Last night, our brother Richard talked about nobody can take you out of God's hand except yourself. If we determine to let go, if you take your hands off that rod of iron, or the roadmap of life, if you will, what can you expect if you do that? I'm going to pick up at the 43rd verse. Oh, remember, my son Helaman, how strict are the commandments of God. And he saith, if ye will keep my commandments, ye shall prosper in the land. That's the third time he said that. But if ye keep not his commandments, ye shall be cut off from his presence. And now remember, my son, that God has entrusted you with these things which are sacred, which he hath kept sacred, and also which he will keep and preserve for a wise purpose in him, that he may show forth his power unto future generations. We see this power. When the apostles go to Africa or to India, they see this power, this spirit that's spreading. And now behold, I tell you by the spirit of prophecy that if he transgress the commandments of God, behold, these things which are sacred shall be taken away from you by the power of God, and ye shall be delivered up unto Satan, that he may sift you as chaff before the wind. But if ye keep the commandments of God, and do with these things which are sacred, according to that which the Lord doth command you, for you must appeal unto the Lord for all things, whatsoever ye must do with them. Behold, no power of earth or hell can take them from you, for God is powerful to the fulfilling of all his words. For he will fulfill all his promises which he shall make unto you, for he hath fulfilled his promises which he hath made unto our fathers. For he promised unto them that he would reserve these things for a wise purpose in him, that he might show forth his power unto future generations. And now behold, one purpose hath he fulfilled, even to the restoration of many thousands of the Lamanites, to the knowledge of the truth. And he hath shown forth his power in them, and he will also still show forth his power in them unto future generations. Therefore they shall be preserved. And then we're going to skip over a little ways, and he's going to give Helaman some guidance about the kinds of things to preach. Starting at the 66th verse, that'll be on page 441. And this is also part of the calling of a priest. Preach on to them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves and to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them never to be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart, for such shall find rest to their souls. O, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord, and whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel, or consult, the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God. And if ye do these things, ye shall be lifted up at the last day. And now, my son, I have somewhat to say concerning the things which our fathers call a ball or director, or our fathers called it Liahona, which is being interpreted a compass. And the Lord prepared it. And behold, there cannot any man work after the manner of so curious a workmanship. And behold, it was prepared to shew our fathers the course which they should travel in the wilderness, and it did work for them according to their faith in God. Therefore, if they had faith to believe that God could cause that those spindles should point the way they should go, behold, it was done. Therefore they had this miracle, and also many other miracles wrought by the power of God day by day. Nevertheless, because those miracles were worked by small means, it did show unto them marvelous works. they were slothful and forgot to exercise their faith and diligence, and then those marvelous works ceased, and they did not progress in their journey. Do we make progress if we're slothful? I don't think so. Therefore, they tarried in the wilderness, or did not travel a direct course, and were afflicted with hunger and thirst because of their transgressions. And now, my son, I would that ye should understand that these things are not without a shadow. For as our fathers were slothful to give heed to this compass, now these things were temporal, they did not prosper. Even so it is with things which are spiritual. For behold, it is easy to give heed to the word of Christ, which will point you to a straight course to eternal bliss, as it was for our fathers to give heed to this compass, which would point them a straight course to the promised land. And now I say, is there not a type in this thing? For just as surely as this director did bring our fathers by following its course to the promised land, shall the words of Christ, if we follow their course, carry us beyond this veil of sorrow into a far better land of promise. Oh, my son, do not let us be slothful because of the easiness of the way. For so it was with our fathers, for so was it prepared for them, that if they would look, they might live. Even so it is with us. The way is prepared, and if we will look, we may live forever. And pay attention where it says, if we will look. If we just ignore the information that's here, if we don't participate, if we don't accept these things, it's not going to help us. We have to have some action on our part. And now, my son, see that you take care of these sacred things. See that you look to God and live. Go on to this people and declare the word, and be sober, my son. Farewell. We don't have the directors or Liahona, but we do have scriptures that will provide us with directions if we're willing to study them. What should we do if we're off course or engrossed in sin? When I pass a point where my GPS unit wants me to turn, it says recalculating and tries to figure or find a new route. We should not be looking for a new route to find salvation. We have the route in our scriptures. You can't poke it in a computer or GPS machine and get a new set of directions different than what we have that are going to be accurate. One of the things, when we're pulling our camper, when we were at the Black Canyon, you know, they had a strict rule that you can't go down in this one area if your vehicle's longer than 22 feet long. Well, I'm supposing after I drove that road that that's a really good rule, because I sure wouldn't have wanted to take my camper down there, because I think we'd have ended in a heap somewhere before we got to the bottom, because I don't think the brakes on the truck and the trailer would have been strong enough to hold it back. We have the same kind of directions. We have cautions, things that tell us, don't go there, don't mess with that. We have to pay attention to the directions. The route that we have, it's an old path. It's been taught since the time of Adam and Eve. We have a Savior in Jesus Christ. He tells us many things in His ministry. He tells us how we should live. I'd like to go into Matthew, and I'm going to read several things in Matthew. We're going to start in the 6th chapter at the 19th verse. And I'm sure you've all heard these before, but they're things that we need to be reminded of. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. I'm going to compare that verse there to what I said earlier and what Brother Rich said yesterday. A thief can't take away our relationship with God. They can't take away the feelings of the Spirit that we've had here today or yesterday. They can't take away the good feelings and the things that you've learned from the sermons that we've had, from the testimonies, from the songs. A thief can't take that away. You can only give it up of your own accord. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? In other words, you can't make yourself taller by thinking about it. It's not going to happen. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. These verses that I just read are talking about being focused. This was mentioned in one of the sermons yesterday about being focused. It's looking to what is right and avoiding that which is evil. It's looking towards the prize, trusting in him for all things. I want to go over in the 16th chapter of Matthew. And in this chapter, he's talking to his disciples, and he asked his disciples in the 13th verse, who do people say that I am? And I'm going to start reading at the 14th verse. And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, that this shall not be unto thee. Would we say similar if Christ was here and said, you know, it's been good. I've enjoyed talking with you and teaching you things, but I'm going to go into town, and they're not going to listen to me, and they're going to kill me. But in 3 days, I'll be back. Would we know what to think? Would we react like they did? But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? These are directions on how to keep our soul. Jesus was willing to die on a cross so we would have a choice between salvation and eternal damnation. In the 20th chapter, at verse 17, And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, and to scourge, and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. And then the 28th verse, Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. He tells us he'll rise again, that he'll return. When? We don't know. When Benny was talking about this yesterday, it doesn't matter. If we're not prepared today, and he comes today, then we're not prepared. If we are prepared and he comes today, praise the Lord. But if we're not prepared, we better be doing something about it. Because we don't know when he's coming back. We can't put off, say, well, you know, I've got a couple of years. I'm having fun doing what I'm doing. You know, when I get tired of this, then I'll think about my salvation. A few weeks ago, and Benny, I think somebody touched on this yesterday, was the fellow that was claiming that May 21st was going to be the end of the world. Well, that didn't happen. And now he says that he figured wrong. It's going to be October 21st. I'm not going to get stressed about that either. But I do think that we should get stressed about, are we prepared? If he came tomorrow, what condition would we be in? Would our portion be with the hypocrites? Are we watching for that thief in the night? Is our door locked to keep him out? Or is it wide open to anybody that wants to come in? Any sin that wants to affect our life. It's about preparation. Like the trip that we discussed earlier, only with much more serious consequences. If you don't plan well for a trip and have a flat or a breakdown, you can call your road service, AAA. If you're hungry along the way, you can probably find somewhere to buy something to eat. But what if you are spiritually empty? Who are you going to call? AAA won't be able to help, nor will McDonald's. We have an opportunity to choose a path. Will it be the straight and narrow that leads to salvation, or the wide and broad way that leads to fire and brimstone? In the 26th chapter, at the 52nd verse, when Jesus was arrested, one of his disciples was pretty frustrated with the whole situation, and he attacked one of the guards and smote off his ear. And Jesus had a comment about that. Then Jesus said unto him, "Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" Jesus knew what had to happen. He couldn't stand in the way of it. Because if he hadn't been crucified, where would we be? If he hadn't died for our sins, what would our condition be? He was willing to die for us. Are we willing to accept that? Will we stand up for him? Or are we like Peter, who said, "I will not deny you," but he did. We all know that story. How many times have we sinned and fallen short of the example of our Savior? How many times have we failed to be a good example or to share a testimony? And I'm going to read you a verse out of a song that we sang this morning. And I want to tell you that I am impressed by the spirit of one of our sisters who calls for songs, and they never fail to touch my heart. And I want you to open your hymnal to 138 in the Red Book. And I don't think I'd ever heard this song before, that I ever read it. It's called Life's Harvest. And we sang the first verse this morning. "O reapers of life's harvest, why stand with rusted blade until the night draws round you and day begins to fade? Why stand ye idle waiting for reapers more to come? The golden morn is coming. Why sit ye idle, dumb?" That really got to me this morning. Are we doing our part? Is our tools rusty? Are we waiting for the night to draw around and the days beginning to fade? Are we standing around idle, waiting for somebody else to do the work? The golden morn is coming. Why are we just sitting around idle? And they use the word dumb, which means not speaking or not sharing our thoughts, our testimonies, our experiences. I hadn't heard that song before. It was really good. I want you to imagine something. We'll use a little imagination here. I want you to think about what Jesus Christ endured on that cross. I want you to imagine what it must have felt like when they pounded nails through his feet into that cross and then stretched out his arms and nailed through each hand into the cross beams. And when they stood that cross up, that pain had to be unbearable as the weight of his body pulled at every tendon and muscle in his hands against those spikes. I can't begin to imagine what he suffered for me, for each of you. Why would he do that? Because he loves us. Do we have any idea what that kind of love is like? We can't sacrifice ourselves for somebody else's salvation. We don't have that power. He did. I want to turn to Luke in the 23rd chapter. I'm going to start at verse 32. And we got really close to this yesterday when somebody read the similar part in Mark. I was crossing my fingers, don't go to Luke, don't go to Luke. But it would have been okay if they had. Usually if I'm going to preach at something like this, I like to go first. But I just, when I asked David if they had a spot for me, I said, I'd like to go on Saturday if I can in case our plans are running late and we don't get there on Friday. And he said, okay, how about Saturday night? And it's like, that'd be fine. And I didn't really get too worried about it because I figured if somebody uses the same scriptures, it's because we were supposed to hear them again. And at 32 here, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How often do we need to forgive somebody in our lives when they've hurt us? Did they know what they were doing when they hurt us? Maybe. Maybe they didn't realize it. But here's the example. Forgive them. Sometimes that is the hardest thing in the world to do. Sometimes I have a real hard time forgiving myself. And then they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. That's a hard story. It hurts me every time I read it. And I think that's the way I should feel. I should feel pain when I read what he did for me, what he did for each of us. And I'm sure that we all can remember the story in the 24th chapter, but I'm going to read it to you. It'll take just a couple minutes, and that's what I'm going to finish with. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them were that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they walked together, and they talked together, rather, of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one with another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted. We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And they found not his body. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Does our heart burn when we understand the scriptures? or when somebody stands up here and preaches in the Spirit of Christ and we feel that relationship to those words, does our heart burn within us? Do we have that feeling and knowledge of the truth? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he shewed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he saith unto them, "Have ye here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it, and he did eat before them. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooveth Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And he led them out so far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. We don't have to go to a temple to be continually praising God. And we have all the directions that we need. And I pray that we would use them so that we will not be lost.